This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful. I was just thinking, I hate to start off with this, but, you know, when they downgraded the credit rating, you know, of the banks, it's really made a difference this week. I don't know if you saw it or not, but when they downgraded the bond market, they have now downgraded several banks. I guess you know that.
I don't know that I read the whole thing.
And you know, I was shocked that there was two Texas banks involved. The rest of them weren't, but the ones that they downgraded was Commerce Bank Shares, BOK Financial, M&T Bank, Old National Bank Corp, Prosperity Bank Shares, Amarillo National Bank Corp. Now, Amarillo National Bank's been in business as long as I can remember. It's owned by the Weir family, unless they have sold. And I thought they had more money than anybody in the world. Moody's cut the ratings on it also. Webster Financial, Fulton Financial, Pinnacle, and Associated Bank Corp.
Really?
And yes. And now they're reviewing ratings on six other banks, and one of them, it's Bank of New York and Northern Trust. Oh, and Colin Frost in San Antonio.
Really?
Colin Frost, I always thought was the most prosperous bank, you know, for local banking, because it's also family owned.
Well,
but what they're saying is they've got too many commercial loans out. They've got a lot of loans out right now. And they're worried about all these banks because of their loans.
So they might be too heavy not enough resources, reserves.
Yes. In other words, they may have to come in and shore that up, put up additional assets. And a lot of these can do it, and some can't. But I would think the Texas banks, both of them, I would think they could come in and shore that up and put up additional assets. I haven't heard yet, but Cullen Frost and Amarillo National is two of the strongest banks around. Of course, we don't know their balance sheet. We don't know what they've been lending out. You know, from the front, they look great, but I don't know what their lending was like. But they obviously got a lot of commercial loans out.
So then do you think this is maybe one of two things? Either you think it's a warning of like another bank thing, or do you think this is proactive to prevent another bank thing from happening?
Well, they're worried about a lot of the banks, I'll tell you. They are worried about regional banks, not your biggest ones, but they're worried about a lot of the banks because apparently they've done so many commercial loans, like apartments and office buildings, and they're worried about those. So they said we may have more fallout on these banks, so they're watching the banks very carefully.
Wow. Do you think we should be concerned about that, that maybe things are on shaky ground or thin ice and something could collapse at any moment, or do you think...
I think everybody should be keeping a very watchful eye out right now. I would be. And what's happened to a lot of the banks, they've had a run on deposits. People have taken their money out. They said several of the big banks, you know, they weren't expecting that. And these people withdrew their capital. Well, you know, that's part of your asset in the bank is, you know, your ability to have a certain amount on deposit at all times.
So
a lot of the people have taken their money out.
Is this something?
I don't know where they put it, but they took the money out.
Wait, they took it out of local banks or larger banks?
Both.
Or both.
Because some of these are big banks. And then I was just looking here at Pinnacle, that's a big bank. So I don't know. But they are reviewing 6 other banks in addition to these that they have downgraded their ratings.
Ooh. Is this something that would affect because I know when we went through the thing, you know, before, people were saying, you know, everything is fine, don't worry. Anybody who's in, you know, larger banks like, you know, Chase, Wells Fargo, Bank of America, stuff like that, you're fine. There's nothing to worry about. No run on other banks. Just stay cool.
Yeah.
Do you think?
Because that's your biggest banks. Your biggest banks are okay.
Yeah.
There's not any problem with them. It's your smaller banks that didn't sell off those loans. Mm. And it could be now they could go and sell off some of those loans, and that will give them a lot more liquidity. Mm. That's what I would do if I was one of those banks. I'd sell off, if I could, to another bank. I'd say, let me sell you my loans, you know, get our loans out of our balance sheet.
Wow.
And return it back to cash. And that would help them a lot if they just sell a lot of those loans they've got on the books.
Should it?
And of course, remember, they're audited all the time. So everybody knows what their financial situation is. You know, that's all public records.
Do you think this is all because of, because I know that, you know, the first go round with the bank thing that happened, what was it, last year? My timelines are terrible. But the last thing we had with the banks, people were kind of caught off guard. Is this maybe like there's new regulations that have been put in place since then? Is this like a residual effect from something like that? Or
I'm sure they have changed some of the regulation as to what you've got to keep on hand and what your liquidity has to be, because that's what it is. They're checking their liquidity. And, you know, I didn't know it, but M&T Bank, which I'm not familiar with, it's the 19th largest U.S. bank.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't even know that.
Oh.
M&T Bank is the 19th largest bank.
I didn't know they were such a
and
big
they
player.
Were the largest lender in this list to receive a lower credit rating.
I'm a little bit shocked, actually.
Yeah. So M&T, and we should look those up, but they're the 19th largest bank in the U.S.
Wow.
And some of them they have rated from stable to negative.
Ooh, that's not good.
No.
Do you think that people should panic, worry, do something, take some action, do withdrawal, reduce something? Or do you think
I would probably reduce. Mm-hmm. I would reduce.
Well,
spread it around.
Yeah, got to diversify.
And make sure it's not a real small bank you're dealing with, because you could really get hurt. And you remember this happened years ago.
Yeah.
Is
it one of the situations where perhaps maybe a majority or at least maybe a handful of smaller banks might start going
have
under?
To merge. They would have to merge with some bigger banks probably. Hmm. And lots of times that's how they handle it. They'll just say, you know, you're going to have to merge with a bigger bank and get some liquidity.
Interesting.
Yeah. So I think everybody needs to, you know, be on the cautious side, definitely.
Well, then there's something we need to be aware of. Wow.
Well, a lot of people don't watch all this, and I do, as you know, because it's important.
Jeez, I know. Well, if you're not watching all these things, then we probably wouldn't know. I mean, I saw some headlines myself, but I never really dug into it. I never thought. I kind of scrolled past it. Didn't think anything of it. And so it's much more of a thing to be aware of than maybe we would have normally thought. Do you think this is something that would affect the stock market? Well, something like that.
Oh, yes. The stock market this week plunged And, you know, it's because Moody's was downgrading our bonds, American bonds, and it had a terrible effect. A lot of people lost a lot of money. And I was thinking about that. You know, if they'd had that money in annuities or life settlements, you know, they wouldn't have had it down this week. They wouldn't have lost any money.
Mm-hmm.
Because remember, when let's say it was an annuity. When you're in an annuity, you've got the vehicle to invest in all these indexes, but you're not direct in those indexes. You're just side by side. And this week, we didn't have one annuity that lost $1.
Wow.
Had you thought about that? We didn't lose any money. When the market crashed this week and went down, we didn't lose anything. It just stood still. That's one thing about an annuity. If the market goes tanks, the annuity does not tank. It doesn't go down, and you don't lose $1. You didn't make any money this week, but you didn't lose any of your hard-earned money either.
Mm. You know, you talk about that.
That's how you have to think about it.
You'll say it a lot of times.
Yeah, I think about it a lot because I was thinking about, well, you know, the market went down so much, it showed how many millions and trillions of dollars everybody lost and what stocks were down so bad. And I thought about that, and I said, well, the annuities didn't lose anything. They stayed steady. So, you know, you can have market growth in an annuity without risking one dime of your money. That's what annuities are. They just mirror the stock market. They're not in the stock market. And yet you've got all these indexes that you can invest in and make quite a bit of money, or you can go and just do a fixed rate. And then right now, of course, you know, you've got the 12% bonus for what you put in this year, 12% bonus for 7 years every time you put additional funds in. So, you know, it's completely different investing than investing directly in the stock market, because you're not directly ever in the stock market. You have no risk. Think about it. It's tax deferred. Every dime is tax deferred. And there's not any tax deferral in the stock market. You're just out there. I mean, you know, yes, you've got a chance to make money, but look how many times in the last 20 years, people have lost a huge amount of their money.
You know, it's
and people have had to go back to work because the market tanked.
Yeah. It's a big slap in the face sometimes when you think you're riding high, you think you're doing well, because when things happen in the stock market, there's not always any kind of a warning. It's just kind of like you wake up, you turn your head, you blink, and all of a sudden, boom, the bottom drops out. And now all of a sudden, you know, you're looking at not only, you know, having to, you know, look at your portfolio and say, geez, you know, you've lost all these assets and all this money, but now my entire lifestyle is going to change. When I thought I was, you know, ready for retirement or already retired, now I've got to go back to work. I mean, it can be a lifestyle change if people are not, and that's kind of like, I guess, a big price to pay for something you have no control over. That, I think, probably hits people in the face.
Well, and I got a scenario from the life insurance company. I had them send me all this information. So they did three different scenarios for me. We took $400,000 and said, okay, let's see. What if it only made 6%, okay? So in 10 years, if it only made that, and that's an average, we showed 2 years you didn't make but 1%. So at the end of 10 years, at 6%, that's $775,000.
Whoa.
Okay. Now then, let's say it did 9.26 in 10 years. At the end of 10 years, it's $1,048,000.
Really?
And that's at 9.26.
And that's because this is all compound, right?
That's right. It's compound interest every day. It's tax deferred. You're not paying tax on it. So, you know, and I did a 20-year and 30-year. So it could be very profitable. You know, it's certainly worth doing. Because if at the end of 20 years, you know, you've got way $1.5 million. If you kept it 30 years, it's $2 million.
Good Lord.
So, yeah, and that's just, we did an average. We did it at 5%, 6%, 9%. And we showed some years, we'd say, okay, let's say you didn't make anything, or you made 1% or 2%. But over a period of years, the annuity, I think, made more than the stock market, because you didn't have the ups and downs, and you didn't have the years where you actually lost your principal. You know, your principal was actually growing all that time. It didn't have any negative days.
Jeez. That really puts it in a whole new perspective. I mean, just to run those scenarios like that, $4,000 at 6% for 10 years turns into $775,000.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, wow. I
had them compute all this out. And we did a 30-year. And 30 years, it was $2,086,000.
Really?
In 30 years, yeah. And that's at 6%. We didn't even figure the good years.
Yeah.
We just took, you know, plain, unadulterated 6%.
Wow.
In 14 years, it was worth $1,312,000. So an annuity could be a great vehicle for somebody that's conservative, that wants the growth of the stock market without the risk.
Wow.
So, you know, it's very conservative, and you're getting the bonus.
I'm shocked at some of these numbers that you're running. I'm like, literally, because we talk about it all the time. We're like, oh yeah, you got the bonus, and then you could just kind of, you know, annuity, you set it and forget it, and you're in the stock market, but you're not in the stock market. It just mirrors the stock market. And so, you know, when you have weeks like, you know, this, where the bottom falls out, you know, and just to not only see that when something happens, nobody lost a dime, and then when you run these numbers, and because annuities just set it and forget it, you don't even have to do anything with it, but it doesn't take that much to turn into a lot of return. I don't think I quite realized the incredible returns that annuities have over time. It's just shocking when you run those numbers.
That's right. And what I love about an annuity, you don't have the risk factor. Mm. You know, if your money is not at risk and you know it's safe, I think it's a good deal. If you know your money is not going to decrease $1, that it's going to stay the same, it's going to build money, and while you're out working, your money is safe. It's you don't have to get up at night and check the stock market, and you know that it's going to mirror the stock market. But it's tax deferred. You're not paying taxes on this all these years. And so you don't pay tax, you start taking it out.
Wow.
So, you know, anybody 50 years old, they're not going to be taking this out for 20 years.
Yeah.
And then I have other clients this week that bought some new annuities, you know, and made their children the beneficiaries naturally. And, you know, that it'll build up a lot of money before the children need it.
Yeah. You have some that turn, they get annuities with the intention of creating, like, it's for, like, college and things like that, right, with a purpose.
That's right. And then we've got some that their children are grown, and this is for part of estate planning, to do annuities where if you passed away, they'll have instant cash, because the annuity you can cash in right away. The estate might take some time. And this doesn't go through probate. You know, the rest of your estate's going to go through probate, but not this. This does not go through probate. So you've got it instantly. You've got money right away for your children.
Wow.
Or your family. So there's so many great things about annuities. I don't know of one about an annuity. You know, I've done annuities for over 20 years.
Really?
Yeah, over 20 years.
Hmm. So you've seen just about everything.
I've seen everything. I've seen when we started out over 20 years ago, it was a fixed rate. That's what you offered people. And then it changed. Along the way, people got smarter. They said, why don't we have indexes? Well, indexes changed the annuity forever, because indexes mirror the stock market. You've got the great returns like stock market, but you don't have the risk. And I think people don't realize an annuity will do almost the same thing as the stock market without the risk. You can just sit back and enjoy it. Every year you get your statement. You can make changes every year, or you can leave it the same.
Yeah. It's kind of like sipping lemonade on a floaty in a pool. You just sit back, enjoy it. You don't do anything. You don't have to worry about anything. Nothing on your mind. You don't have to get up in the middle of the night. You're just, it's just, it
sits
there.
You don't have
there.
The risk.
Yeah.
You've taken all the risk out of your savings. You've taken all the risk out of your retirement, which is great.
Yeah.
So, you know, I recommend people get some annuities, do some annuities, and take a lot of that risk out of your portfolio.
You'd mentioned those.
And then, life settlements. Now, a life settlement is different, but again, it's with a life insurance company. And right now, you don't see any downgrades of life insurance companies, by the way.
That's true.
Not being downgraded. They're not being said, okay, the credit ratings, Moody's is going to downgrade you, because they've got $1 trillion, every one of them. I mean, billions and billions of dollars.
Like actual reserves on hand.
And they have reserves that banks do not. I don't know why banks are not required to put up the stiff requirements that life insurance companies are, but they don't. They don't have near the reserves. So that's why they can get in trouble sometimes, because they're lending out all your deposits every day.
Is it even reasonable? Would it be realistic to require banks to have some more resources on hand? Maybe not everything, like life insurance. Because life insurance companies, they're required to have, if every single policy came due in one day, they would have the resources on hand to pay them all out. They wouldn't have to worry about anything being in, you know, somebody's house or another loan or anything like that. They've got it all on hand. Is it even practical to raise the bar on banks at all? To have resources?
Well, I think they are raising the bar. I think they're going to say you've got to have more liquidity. You've got to have up more reserves. Right now, I think they will make them put up more reserves and become more liquid. And, you know, that's what they did years ago. They said you do not have the liquidity that you've got to have. And they came in. If they couldn't raise the liquidity, they made them sell it to a company that had liquidity. So there will be several banks that will be out of business because they're not going to be able to raise the liquidity. We're talking about smaller banks that won't have the liquidity that's required. But insurance companies have got the liquidity. They've got reserves up, which banks should carry more reserves, but they don't. And I think you'll see a lot of that change. They're going to require more reserves and more liquidity. So when you do a life settlement, you know, you're buying a life policy from somebody that has cancer. We try not to do anything but cancer. We try to do all stage four, because stage four means they're probably not going to make it, and that's why we're buying the policy. And then we use Lapidus. We use several really good companies to tell us how long they're going to live. And besides that, we get all of the medical for the last 3 or 4 years on this person. Sometimes it's longer than that. Sometimes the medical is like 1,000 pages.
Wow. Whoa.
Yes. It's a lot. But when you're this much money, you know, we want to know everything about that person that we can. We want to know how long they're going to live. And then when we ask people to invest in this policy, it's 30 months, 35, or it may be 12 months. And that one the other day, Eric Chase, we cut it too close. You know, we started negotiating with him last summer, and he couldn't make up his mind. And then he came back to us, you know, 2 months ago and said, I really want to go ahead and sell my policy. Well, the time we raised the money, got it ready, he went to hospice. They were wrong about how long he had to live. And we've had this happen a few times. And that means they put the money back in the people's accounts, and so then we had to do a new policy. We couldn't do Barry Chase, so we got all of our money back, we redid it, and put it in another policy. But when we buy a policy, you know, we try to make sure the premiums are low, We try to make sure we're right on how long they're going to live, and that, you know, we have expectations of when that policy will mature. And as we've talked about the last 2 weeks, we've had $207 million in maturities.
Wow.
$207 million.
That's impressive.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, I didn't think about it at the time, but it is a lot of money. A lot of people have had great returns. Most of them have. We have some that have went over. But once we're out of those, they should be flying high. We should be doing great on those policies. And all the other policies are coming in like they should. You know, the first quarter of this year, you know, we had like 20-something million in policy maturities. You know, that was the most we've ever had. And it just seemed like every couple of weeks we were having a new maturity.
Yeah.
But I think that the returns are good on those. We pay 1% a month. And so if it's 24 months, you're going to make 24%.
So when you, for those who are new to life settlements, when you say 1% a month, that's the LE. That's how far that doctors and scientists think the policy will go. And so then once you lock in that 1%, then that, it doesn't matter if it comes in early, it doesn't cut profit. It just means they get that 1% per month earlier than they would have had it gone the actual full term.
That's right. And if it's late, you still, it's 24 months, it's 24%. If it comes in, like you said, early, it's still 24. It's set when you buy the policy. And that page 14, now it's way back at the back. But it tells you everything about what you've done. It tells you the face amount of the policy, who the person is, how old they are. It tells you what your profit is. It tells you if it goes over, what it'll cost you. Everything you have been told is right there on that page. Hmm. Everything is always in writing. And then, of course, you have to have an account at Nevada Trust. We don't always tell you that. But all the money goes to Nevada Trust. They are the trustees on this account. They handle the money. They handle the payout. And if there's premiums, Nevada Trust handles that. So that is our safety net, is having a big bank handle the money.
Hmm. When people come over, are they impressed with how well informed the investment is as opposed to the stock market? Especially, I would imagine, people coming over from Wall Street who are used to just being in whatever their broker puts them in, they probably are a little bit maybe shocked that, you know, oh gosh, you know, we're not just kind of like doing what we're told or whatever somebody does for us. We actually are invested. We know we're engaged in the investment. We're engaged in, you know, what's going on. We actually decide if we want to get into each particular policy. Nobody decides for them. And they have a lot of information to make that decision on. Is that a factor for new investors that come over?
I think so, because they are in charge of their policy. They make the decision when to get in or to turn a policy down. Sometimes they're wrong on turning one down, but that's okay. It's their money. We always tell them it's their money. It's not our money. When you're at a brokerage house, you're at the mercy of them. I hate to say that. And a lot of them are very good. But we had an incident this week. A guy was going to send over $1 million. And he sent me a copy of what he told the broker. He said, please liquidate this and wire this to Nevada Trust. And the broker is saying, no, no, you don't want to do this. And he's going, what? Oh, let me just make a loan on your portfolio.
Ooh.
Well, when they make a loan, you have to pay it back. You're going to incur interest. Why would you do that?
Jeez. Brokers are not out for your good.
I realized that this guy didn't really know the broker. And he sent me, when I inquired about who this broker was and everything, he sent me a picture. And it was this little young guy, probably less than 30 years old, was managing his portfolio of $10
million. Whoa.
And I go, holy Toledo.
Oh, wow.
I go, oh, my gosh. This kid is managing your money?
Whew.
And, oh, my gosh, I just couldn't believe it. but they're telling you what you can do with your money.
Yeah.
And that's one thing about this. Nobody tells you what to do with your money. It's up to you to make the decision. You're calling the shots. And when you make a profit, it goes to Nevada Trust to your account. Everybody has to have an account at Nevada Trust. You can have a joint account with your wife. You can have an IRA, a regular IRA. You can have a Roth. There's a lot of different kinds of accounts people have with us. And I've got one couple that he owns an oil company. He's over here on this side investing. His wife invests with her children. And they've done a lot of deals with us. And they continue to. But it's a separate deal. And that's the only couple I know that invests separately. Most people do it together. But not this couple. She does hers. He does his.
Wow. So they're both really kind of involved. Because a lot of times you'll say that, you know, maybe the husband will come in, talk to you, set it all up and kind of get it going and maintain it. And the wife doesn't always, she's not always in on what's actually happening, so doesn't really know. But they are both fully engaged, not only together, but separately as well. They're both on the same.
But separately.
Yeah.
And like you say, we have a lot of men. They call me. They say, Faye, I've been listening to you for years. I'd like to open an account. I want to do some investing. And then sometimes the wife doesn't get involved. And then if anything happens to the man, she doesn't understand the investment, doesn't understand. And first thing you know, she's back in the stock market. Hmm. He spent 5 years getting out of the stock market to get the money safe for his wife. And they'll go and go to a broker. I don't know why, but they do. I mean, the men, they didn't want their money in the stock market. They wanted it with me. But the wife suddenly has to have a man handle it. And I don't understand it. It's just one of those things that people do things and you shake your head and say, why would they do that?
Yeah, especially after spending that much time trying to you know, make sure that everything is set up for them.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, I have one gentleman that has died of cancer. He spent 5 years with us building his portfolio, has a lot of money with us, and he passed away. He assumed we would continue to handle the account for his wife. She starts taking it all out, taking all the cash out.
Hmm.
And then they'll go and give it to a broker, and then when it goes down, they don't have as much to live on. They wondered what in the world happened.
Jeez.
And I just shake my head. I don't understand it. But that's the way it goes.
Well, you know, as a lot of people have found out over the years, some the hard way, that when you have brokers in the stock market, the decisions they make are not for your good. It's for their good, what lines their pocket. They have an agenda. And so, you know, I mean, that's how their structures are built. You know, their fees are built on, you know, making transactions, doing things. And so it's not always in the investor's main interest. But with a life settlement, there are no brokers. You don't have anybody who's, you know, moving things around and gets paid to shuffle things and, you know, move assets and get into this and get into that. It's literally, here is a policy. What do you, Mr. Investor, think? Do you want in? Yes or no? And then they decide and then boom, and then that's it. You just wait for it to mature.
And I would rather have all the dollars I've got in a life settlement and annuities and be safe, know that my money's safe. I've got it in the life insurance products, so we know that it's safe at all times. You know, I got out of the stock market years ago. I've never looked back. I've never regretted it. In fact, I've been so thankful that I'm not losing my money. Hmm. You know, there's a time in your life when you say, if I lost it all today, what in the heck would I do? You know, and everybody should consider that. At whatever time they are in life. If you're over 50 years old, do you want to start all over with an IRA? Do you want to, you know, have to go back and say, well, Martha, you know, we're going to have to work another 5 years, another 10 years,
yeah.
You know? I would rather just be safe, go down the road, be thinking about something else other than worry about a portfolio that, especially right now, can go sideways.
Yeah. Wow. And you've had people that have had to have that conversation before. They've been in the stock market, and then, you know, they're you know, fixing to retire. They're getting really close, or maybe they already have. And then, you know, something like what we've seen recently happens, and then, boom, they've got to have decisions, and they've got to have hard conversations. And, well, we're going back to work, and so here you go. In the time where you should be enjoying things, you're not. So it's a real thing. It really does happen. So.
And you know, the other thing is, you get to a certain age, and nobody's not going to want you.
Yeah.
You thought about that?
Is that true?
I mean, you're going to go back to work, and they go, and doing what, please? But, you know, I'd rather be conservative and know that my money is safe, that it can't go down, that I'm not going to lose $1.
Yeah.
I mean, that makes sense to me. I don't know. Maybe it doesn't for everybody. Maybe some people love the risk, and if they can stand it and they can stand to lose money, it's okay with me.
Yeah.
But my recommendation is don't lose any of your money.
Yeah, especially as you get closer to retirement, you don't want to, you know, play that game. You want to,
if you're
most 50, people
60 years old, don't start over now. Good Lord, I mean, it's taking you years to get there, to build up your money.
Yeah,
I mean, it doesn't make any sense that you would now risk 100% of it. And we move money for people every week. You know, they say, you know, my company, I've been there long enough. I can take my 401k out. We just take that 401k, we roll it over, we start investing, and they never look back.
Yeah. It's a much easier ride this way, for sure. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com. Did you know we haven't even given out the phone number till now?
we jumped right into the money.
I had something on my mind early, so you know I wanted to talk about it. Didn't want to forget about it. And by golly, we just went right on.
We did. We plowed through. Usually we jibber jabber for a little while.
That's right.
It was all business today.
That's right. We didn't do any fun things up front, did we?
We didn't.
We just go right there, and here we are. Oh, my gosh.
So let's do some fun things now. It's time for trivia. What do you got today?
Okay, we're going to talk about the best barbecue places in Texas today.
Oh, yes. This is going to be good.
We haven't done it in a couple of years, have we?
Mm-mm.
It's been a while. Okay, number one. They've just been named number one. Kelly's Hill Country Barbecue. Texas Hill Country. Now, you're going to be shocked about this, but... When this guy started out, of course, he had Kelly's Hill Country Barbecue, and, you know, he was doing all this, and, you know, the bad times came. But he was serving up brisket, pork ribs, and sausage. But it's been graded the best of the best in the three meat categories for all of this type of barbecue. And when he started... back in 2010, he was doing competition cooking, and everybody started noticing him. Then in 2019, he opened Creekside Cookers, but then COVID came. He had to scale back. And like you said, it wasn't easy. He didn't do it for any other reason because he loves it. But back then, if you owned a barbecue place, it was going under. So it did go under. But Kelly Evers is back, and he's got a food trailer.
Ooh.
He's going strong 5 days a week. So if you're in Wimberley, if you're in the Hill Country, you're going to love it because he has the best and the best. Let me tell you something. He's got Cajun pinto beans. He's got apple pecan slaw.
Ooh, that sounds cool.
He makes a mean corn casserole.
Mm.
I mean, and then the freebies. He takes bacon-wrapped quail breast poppers, and he gives them these to get to the window. So you get all these freebies at the same time.
Oh, wow.
But even though he gave up his restaurant when the COVID got so bad, he's back. He's now been graded the best of the best. He only opens Tuesday through Saturday and until it's sold out on Saturdays. Starts at 11 a.m. on Saturday and just goes till he sells out. And that's it.
Wow. When it's done, it's done.
That's right. And then you've got Panther City. Now, they've been named number two in the state. Now, Panther City is in Cowtown. And you know how famous Cowtown is. Well, they're going to have to take a step backwards because Panther City is as famous as anything there. You've got the stockyards. You've got the rodeo. You've got the nightlife, a Little Red Saloon. But you've also got Panther City Barbecue. And they've got a heck of a reputation. They've got some of the best pit masters in Texas. Their brisket is the centerpiece. It's got the greatest flavor. It's a little bit crunchy.
Oh, yes.
It's got glazed pork ribs and a house-made sausage. It says they are eye-openers. They've got bacon-wrapped pork belly poppers. They've got brisket mixed in with cream corn, cilantro, queso, and hot sauce.
Oh, wow.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, can you imagine this? It's just an amazing thing. Then, number three is Brotherton's Black Iron Barbecue. Now, John Brotherton started out in a food trailer. He had long lines across the parking lot. 1,000 people a year were coming to his little food trailer. And it was just, he started out as a weekend warrior, you know, making barbecue for people. And then in 2010, he purchased the food trailer. Well, there was a problem. He ran out of barbecue long before he ran out of customers. So in 2013, he opened Curly's Carolina, Texas. It was Round Rock's first barbecue place. Unfortunately, road construction, no parking, no roads. He had to close. So in 17, he opened Brotherton's Black Iron Barbecue in Pflugerville. He hadn't ever looked back. Then he opened Liberty Barbecue in Round Rock. He's got a barbecue sauce that's sold worldwide. He's known as the ambassador of barbecue.
Yeah.
And today, both of his locations are full at all times.
I'm sure.
And people come from foreign countries to Texas just to eat his barbecue. And he's a genius. He knows what people like. He's got a sausage sensation himself, Bill Dumas. And they say it's sweeping the planet. And people are ordering his sauces from around the world.
Did you say it's sweeping the planet?
That's what they say. Oh, it's sweeping the planet.
Oh, my.
Known as Texas Barbecue. And that's Brotherton's Black Iron Barbecue. You know, this year it's completely different than what we've done in the past. The past ones have all had, you know, store locations. There was no COVID. You know, they were just rocking. And these people were rocking, and COVID hit. They had to close their businesses, go back to the food trucks, and it made them famous. It really did.
Yeah. Not only did it keep them going, but it propelled them a little bit, it sounds like.
It propelled them. It didn't just back them up. And the lines were so long, you couldn't even get in the parking lots.
Wow.
And so they finally opened, you know, the restaurants again, and Pflugerville, all these places. Hill Country this year was the winners of all the top barbecues, that in Fort Worth. It's amazing because, you know, in years past, we had the lady that that has the barbecue place that only opened on Saturdays, if you remember.
Oh, yeah.
And, remember, she was so famous. And she's still famous, but she didn't come in number one this year. And these three people have all been through the fire. They, you know, a lot of bad things happened to them during COVID, but they made a comeback, and now they're more sensational than they were before, and their barbecue is really the top of the top.
Wow.
And so these three were named the best in Texas.
That is so cool. You know, it's really cool because there's so many people. I know when COVID first hit, and a lot of, you know, food industry businesses took massive hits, you know.
They
and
really
so
did.
Then so many went out of business. So many tried to, you know, adapt, you know, drive through only, pickup only, no eat-in dining, or then maybe there were some tables like outside someplace, but it was like a third of capacity. So there were all kinds of issues, and a lot of people didn't make it. To see these not only come through it, adapt and come through it, but then actually thrive as a result, that's really, really cool. I mean, that says a lot.
It really does. And, you know, it took a lot of tenacity after, you know, having to close down to come back, open a food truck, and make it that damn successful to be number one in Texas out of a food truck. That's how good it is. I mean, his barbecue is so fabulous. I just can't imagine. And then, of course, their pit masters are the best in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've got some of the best pit masters there is on planet Earth.
Yeah.
And we talked about planet Earth a minute ago.
It's sweeping the planet.
That's right, on the planet. And then Brotherton's is selling his sauce worldwide. They said people are flying to Texas to eat his barbecue.
Jeez.
Now, how great is that?
That's a big deal. That says, especially with as many as we have, for some to stand out like that, and people to come from all over the world. I mean, that's a big deal. That's a really big deal. And we're coming into like what seems like barbecue season. You know, this is the time where of year when you start to see like the barbecue competitions on TV, and then you got the fair coming up, which is like barbecue heaven. So this is great. I love barbecue season. All year is barbecue season.
You can't go wrong with barbecue.
Mm-mm.
I mean, if it's good, it is the best thing to eat. And I love all the things they've made with it. You know, the different side dishes are just great. I mean, they're wonderful.
Yeah.
And their sauces, oh, my gosh.
Mm.
And they all started in their backyard. That's what's amazing to me.
Yeah.
They spent years just doing it for friends, and everybody would say, you need to do this, commercially. And they finally did, and look what a success they really are.
Yeah. Jeez. You know, it's you were talking earlier about you had mentioned real quick about, you know, one of the briskets and the little crunch on it. And I'm like, oh, my God, that's the best part. Oh, it's the best. Oh,
well, you know, I was watching television the other day, and the pit masters were in this competition.
Yeah.
And this one guy put a little bit of charcoal on the top.
Really?
I never will forget. The judge says, "What is this?" There was these little black specks in it,
yeah.
And the guy chipped off his charcoal and put in it.
Oh.
Now I would never go that far. I cannot imagine putting charcoal in there and having somebody eat the charcoal. But, you know, people do strange things.
They do. That's for sure. Yeah. Oh, wow. You know, I said we're coming into barbecue season, but really, now that I think about it, all the barbecue season is all year. But still,
it is all year, because there's no telling how many million pounds of barbecue Texans eat.
I know it.
Had you thought about that? There's just no telling, because we are barbecue fanatics.
Yeah, we are. And there's a reason for it. It's the best ever, anywhere. Like, on the
it
planet,
is.
Literally. Oh,
and
wow.
Texas is barbecue country, let me tell you.
It is. And then, you know, with what are we into August? What is the, August 12th? So it's like we're right at back to school time, which means that, you know, the fair is right around the corner. And I love when you start bringing up the fair and all the fair food that goes on. This is like we're getting into that time of year where it's just like things are wonderful. You get fall food. Did I mention that I saw, speaking of fall food, I saw some Halloween candy in the store the other day? No lie.
You're kidding me.
I swear to
you. It is way too early to be seeing Halloween candy. It's going to be old by the time Halloween gets here. I mean, that's terrible.
It'll be eaten by the time Halloween gets here.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I thought about you as soon as I saw it. I thought, you know, I got to tell Faye about that.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah, it's
what
here.
Is the world coming to? Yeah. I just don't know.
Well, they say that Christmas officially starts right around Halloween or like right before Halloween, I think, is when the season starts now.
Well, and all the kids are going back to school. You know that.
Yeah.
All the schools are starting, and that means all the sports are starting. You know, and sports, schools couldn't exist without sports. They love sports. That's why the colleges have such huge sports, because they start in grade school, middle school, high school. I mean, everything is sports.
Yeah.
I don't know how they have time to study.
Yeah. Me neither. I never did.
There you go. I mean, everybody, and can you imagine what parents spend if they've got three or four kids?
Mm.
I mean, you have to have uniforms, you have to have basketball, you have to have a soccer ball. A football, you've got to have skin shins. You've got to have everything. There's just even the little kids have to have all this.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It is. Fall is the best time of year for all these reasons.
That's right. I mean, you know, and there's something going on every afternoon or every weekend on sports.
Yeah, there is. Yeah.
So it keeps the families busy, I can tell you, scrambling.
Scrambling. Maybe a little too busy sometimes. Rest up.
I think so. Sometimes it's too much. Everybody has to go a different direction, get all the kids to all the sports, I can tell you. It's a two- or three-person job.
Yeah. We're going into scramble season, and then on January 1st, it all kind of like collapses and the bottom falls out, and then you can rest until – you know, spring. But
that's
it's
right.
Go
everybody
season.
Needs it.
Yeah. You do need a long winter's nap after all this. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
You were mentioning annuities a little while ago. Are those bonuses still going on? Are they? Because I know there was some big stuff.
I wouldn't have brought it up if they weren't.
All right.
I mean, I wouldn't tell you about a bonus if you couldn't get it. Did you say that right? Maybe you didn't say that right.
Well, it's a nice way of saying, can you run down the bonus structure?
Oh, that's what you wanted me
that's
to say.
Where
I
was
I
going.
Didn't get it.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't get that. Okay. The bonus is 12% on all money this year. Next year, if you put money in, it's 12%. For the next 7 years, you can get 12% bonus for every dollar you put in for 7 years. And then we talked about the rider. You can buy the rider and get an extra 7% and then get an extra 4% at the end of the term.
Mm.
So there's all kinds of things happening. Right now, insurance companies are giving big bonuses. So that tells you how they think the economy is going to be.
I'm still shocked at when you ran down those numbers of profit margins with annuities. I know we talk about them all the time, and we say, you know, oh yeah, you just put it in, and you wait, and then you do whatever you want to do, and then you know you make all this money, and it's kind of slow and easy, and you don't have to really engage with it. You just set it and forget it. But we hadn't really focused that much on the amount of money that people can make, and so I'm blown away by it. So.
Well, see, I had the company send me all that. And, you know, they did all the computers on it, figured it out, told me what it was. They told me what it had made the last 10 years, what it could make the next 10 or 20 or even 30. So it depends what age you are when you take out your annuity. But it's got great returns. We figured it, as I said, we figured it at 5%, 6%, 9%. And in the last 10 years, it has made 10%. So we didn't even go up that high, but, you know, we just did the other. But at 9%, You know, in 10 years, that's 1,048,000 on 400,000.
Wow. I'm blown away by that. I'm willing to bet you get a bunch of calls on Monday.
That's right. Well, we've already done a bunch of annuities on it, and we'd like to do a lot more because I think it's a good conservative approach, and they'll never look back if they've got annuities. It'll always be there. It always have the safety feature, and you can't say that if you're in the stock market. So if it was me, I would certainly consider annuities versus stock market.
Yeah, and some people will do annuities and pair them with life settlements, and so some people will do. Oh, which reminds me, we should probably run down the risks with a life settlement. What's the biggest one?
Okay, the biggest risk is it could go over, and you'd have to pay premiums. Premiums would be your biggest risk, but you always know up front how much your premiums would be. The other risk is it's not liquid until it matures. Everybody, I think, understands that. And you must be qualified to do this. You must make either $200,000 a year or you must be worth $1 million without your house. The minimum investment is $100,000. We didn't say that about annuities. Our minimum is $100,000 on annuities also.
Okay.
So if they qualify, you can do either one or you can do both. You can put some money in annuities. You can put money in a life settlement.
Cool.
Depending on, you know, how they stand. But people ask, you know, why you have to be qualified to do life settlement. That's a government requirement. It's not our requirement. They do not want anybody that's not accredited to do this. So, you know, we have to send in reports if we've got anybody that's not accredited doing this. So you must be accredited.
Okay. And it is also for their own protection. Not only is it a government regulation, but it's also set up and designed for their own protection as well. So whichever
Absolutely.
Way people want to go, you have availability this coming week to talk to people. I would assume schedule business as usual, right?
That's right. We will be scheduling appointments. I always talk to people on the phone when they call. I go over everything to be sure they understand the investments. And then if once they understand, I'll say, yes, we'll do it. Come over. We'll set you up an account at Nevada Trust, and you can do it either with a check. You can do a rollover on IRA, rollover funds, you know, however you want to do it.
Cool. All right, then. It's a very simple, easy process, but people do need to make an appointment. So one last time, Faye, what is your phone number for people to call and set that up?
Okay, it's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.